Welcome to Chapels from Rosedale Bible College. Thanks for joining our community for weekly chapels recorded on our campus in Rosedale, Ohio. We hope you are challenged and inspired by what you hear. Enjoy.
It is a joy again to be with you today on this day that the Lord has made, and this day that you're going to have an opportunity to respond to what you've been hearing and what God has been speaking to you about in your hearts. I hope you'll be especially responsive today. I have a question here. Do you need a special vision from God? I know that some of you, when you hear about God's heart for the nations and the possibility of serving cross-culturally, and last night when I was asking about barriers that people face, one of them was a lack of a clear calling. And when you have that barrier, some people think, well, if I get a special vision from God, then I'll know that I'm to go. And so some of you are hoping or waiting for that special vision from God, some divine revelation that comes to you that can propel you forward into the mission of God. Well, let me tell you about a person who needed a special vision from God. And we'll ask and answer the question, did he need a special vision from God? Should he have needed a special vision from God? And in answering that question, you can answer it for yourself today. There's someone who said this in the Bible. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men and women from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know who made that statement? Who made that confession? Who came to that realization? Who was it? Yes, it's Peter. And where did Peter make that confession? Okay, he made it in the home of a Gentile named Cornelius. We find this confession in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. Now, when Peter makes that statement, I now realize how true it is, means that something was coming to Peter at that moment in a way different than it happened before. I now realize means something was happening in Peter's vision and in his heart that he had not understood previously. Now, this confession, realizing that God accepts men and women from every nation, you say, Peter, Acts chapter 10? I mean, weren't you there when Jesus was talking with a Samaritan woman and you saw the fact that he was conveying the gospel to a Samaritan, a woman that you would never have spoken to, Peter? Didn't you grasp then? No. How about when Jesus took the disciples on a boat and crossed the sea to go into Gentile territory and met a demonized man there, and how that man was set free? Could not Peter have said, oh, I now realize how true it is? No. When Jesus was talking with another centurion who came to him with a request for his servant to be healed, and Jesus healed that servant, couldn't Peter have said, I now realize? No. When Jesus was explaining his plans to his disciples, and he said, I have other sheep also that I must gather, meaning that outside of the nation of Israel, that there was those he was going to gather into his kingdom. Couldn't Peter say, I now realize? No. When Jesus was on the mountaintop after his death and resurrection and said to them, now go and make disciples of all nations, couldn't Peter on that mountaintop say, I now realize? No. When the Holy Spirit was poured out and Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, and there assembled before him were men and women from different nations who God had brought together in Jerusalem, and that he preached a message that went out to the nations. Couldn't Peter have said, I now realize? Maybe he could have, but he didn't. It's here in Acts chapter 10. After Peter has been following Jesus a long time, after he's been hearing the words of Jesus, seeing the example of Jesus, hearing the mission of Jesus, that it's not until Acts 10 that Peter says, I now realize. How did he get to this realization? What was it about that experience that was breaking into his heart the message that Jesus had been trying to get to him for a long time? This is not the first time that Jesus is trying to get Peter to grasp his heart for the nations. There's something happening here that is so significant because we often have a delusion that we understand something when we grasp it mentally, but we do not understand it until we see in our experience the thing come to pass. Oh, I think Abraham had a vision for having children. His name meant father, but he had no children. I don't think Abraham could fully understand when God changed his name to Abraham, the father of many nations, that he could understand that until he had a child. He could say, now I realize what it means to be a father. And there's so many precious truths of God that we study and we say, I believe, I agree. But it's until we operate and move out and do in obedience what God calls us to do that we'll be able to say with Peter, I now realize. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, God wants you to have the now experience of Peter. He wants you to be able to say, I now realize how true it is that God accepts men and women from every nation. Oh, I think if we had Bible quiz time here, if you were in your missions class, is there a missions class here? Yeah. Okay. If you were in the missions class and it came to your final exam, and there was the question on the exam, does God accept men and women from every nation? Yes or no? I think you would all get it right. If you got it wrong, you're in big trouble. You automatically failed the course. But checking that box, saying yes, is not the same thing as Peter here saying, I now realize. How did Peter get this realization? Maybe you're familiar with the story, but let me read it to you again. What's happening in Acts chapter 10? I'll go to verse 9. The context of this is that there is a man named Cornelius, who we are told is a God seeker, similar to what we learned last night about the Ethiopian eunuch. Here was another Gentile man who had an open heart to God, was seeking God, and he was praying. And as he's praying, he gets a experience of God sending him an angel and speaking to him and telling him that his prayers have been heard. And God, evidently, his prayers are to know God, to seek God. And God tells him, your prayers have been heard. Now, here's the answer to your prayer. The thing you've been seeking is found in a message that a man named Peter has. So go call for Peter. I find that very interesting that of all the people that God could have told Cornelius to go and get, he could have told him to go and call for Paul. He could have asked for him to call for Philip, who we read about last night, the evangelist. But to call for Peter? Yeah, God had a special plan, not only for Cornelius to hear the message of the gospel, but to do something for Peter. Now, please understand this man, Cornelius, who's calling. He is a Gentile who's not heard the good news of Jesus. He seems to be a good man. He's a God-seeking man, a God-fearing man. But this tells us something, that in every nation, there are people who are seeking God. but they still need to hear the gospel. The driving message of missions is that people need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, no matter how sincere they are in their own faith, their own religion, no matter what good works they do, they still need to hear the gospel. God didn't just say, well, Cornelius, it's great that you're a sincere person living up to the light that you have received. No, you need to hear the gospel. And so God says to Cornelius to go and call for Peter, and he goes and sends men to go and call for Peter. And then the story is picked up here in verse 9. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey, these men go for Peter, and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." He was like me on a missions trip, right? "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the man, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" And they explained how Cornelius has sent them. And so Peter invited them into his house to be guests and then went with them the next day to Cornelius' house. He goes to Cornelius' house. He asks Cornelius why he sent for him. He hears the story that Cornelius tells him about how God had appeared to him and told him to call for Peter. And then Peter explains, "You know, I shouldn't be here." He says to Cornelius, he says, "You know," he says in verse 28, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him, but God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection." Did Peter need a special vision from God to go to Cornelius' house? Yes or no? Did he? Well, on the one hand, it seems obvious. Yes, he did. Otherwise, God wouldn't have given it to him. If those men just showed up at his door and said, "Listen, there's a Gentile man named Cornelius. He's had a message from God. Come to his house." I think Peter would have said, I think you better go and check on that. I don't think that's from God. That doesn't sound right to me. I mean, all my life, I've not been associating with Gentiles, and I'm not going. But God in his mercy, God in his kindness toward Peter, has been trying to teach him this lesson, this thing that he wants Peter to grasp about his heart for the nations. And so he doesn't give up on Peter. He doesn't say, "Oh, that's the ministry for Paul. Yeah, Paul understood it. Paul got the vision. He was willing to go. We'll just let Peter stay in his own ministry to the Jews." You know, it's fine. You know, there's different visions that people have in their life. Some are called the Jews. Some are called the Gentiles. Let's just let Peter stay there. No, no. It was important for all of them to have this vision. Now, it's true that Peter was more culturally suited to minister to Jews. We are always more suited to understand and communicate with people who are most like us. You know, whatever background you're from, wherever you're from, there is a way of connection that you have that you should not reject. But God doesn't want you to be limited to your cultural background. He doesn't want you to be limited to your own little sphere. He wants to stretch you and bring you out. And, you know, we were singing that song, I Will Follow You. Well, when Peter heard that message, come follow me, he didn't have an idea that he was going to eventually follow him to a Gentile's house. He could never have imagined that. But he did. Jesus did say, come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And I think Peter, you know, he understood part of that. I don't think he understood in men, fishers of men, that that would include Cornelius. See, when you said to Jesus, when you were singing that song, I will follow you, Jesus is going to lead you to places and people that you did not imagine before, if you are willing to say yes, if you're willing to keep going with Jesus. Peter, I like him. The fact is, it took him a long time to get there, but he did eventually get to Cornelius' house. He got there because he was willing to continue to respond to God. Now, Peter was a guy who usually didn't get things right the first time, right? I mean, he was no prize. He was no catch for Peter, for Jesus. But Jesus saw something in Peter, that Peter had a heart to keep going, that he was willing to follow Jesus. And if you keep following Jesus, eventually you'll get to the place where he wants you. And one of the places he wants you is to be able to say, I now realize how true it is that God accepts men and women from every nation who fear him and do what's right. I think that Peter should not have needed a special vision from God because he already heard Jesus say, go and make disciples of all nations. Have you heard that one? I'm sure you have. But it is not until you act and get into a cross-cultural relationship. It's not until you start praying for the people of the nations. It's not until you act and go beyond your own cultural background that you will be able to say, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men and women from every nation. See, I don't want you to hear missions talks and just think, oh, that's really nice. Oh, those are some great experiences that I had or that other missionaries had. I don't want you to just think, yeah, that's a ministry for other people. What I want you to see is this experience for Peter is one that God wants you to have. Peter had a vision on a rooftop, but he had to come down from the rooftop, and he had to take a trip to a Gentile's house to be able to say, I now realize. See, there's a difference between vision and revelation. He had a revelation at Cornelius' house because that's where he says, I now realize. That's revelation. That's grasping in your heart as a result of obedience to God. Vision is just seeing something. He saw something that God was communicating to him about the fact that he shouldn't call people unclean. You know, I think that part of what is meant to happen as you study the scripture and as you are here in Bible college is for God to increase your vision, for you to see in his word things you've not seen before, for you to see more clearly the character of God, for you to see the glories and wonders of God's redemptive plan. God wants to increase your vision. But he doesn't want to just give you vision. He wants to give you revelation. He wants you to be able to get to the place of obedience where those scriptures and those things he shows you become powerfully enough that they are in your heart. And you don't get them in your heart simply by seeing something. You get them in your heart by following Jesus into the nations. Have you had a now experience? Or are you waiting for some vision? Are you waiting to, at least, I think I like about Peter is he's praying. He's going up on the rooftop to pray. I cannot imagine Peter being on the rooftop saying, now, Lord, give me a vision of the nations. I don't know what he was praying about. He was hungry. And God, you know, isn't this humorous? Okay, Peter, you're hungry? I'll show you something to eat. Peter says, that is not the meal I was anticipating. In fact, I've never eaten those foods before. By the way, I forgot to tell you a food that I ate that I had never had before. And it was unclean. I didn't realize it. I don't know. Maybe this will shock some of you. But I was offered coagulated, solidified pig blood. Just blood. It's solid. And I said, I will not refuse any food that is offered to me because it all can be made clean when I'm giving thanks to God. And so I ate it. And I was speaking in the church the next day, and I just shared my experience about eating pig blood. And there was an audible gasp from the congregation. Like, normally, I said, I missed something. Obviously, I missed something. So afterwards, I said, why did you gasp when I told you that in your culture, I ate something that was offered to me? They said, didn't you read the Bible? It says you're not supposed to be eating blood. I said, oh, yeah, I read that, but I thought I was, Jesus made it all clean. But Peter had not gotten it. Somehow, you know, even though Mark 7, Jesus declared all foods clean, he still, you know, wanted to follow Jewish dietary customs. It's okay. But Jesus used a powerful connection between Peter's unwillingness to eat these foods that he considered unclean and the way that he viewed people of the nations. Now, it was fine for Peter to preach to them. He did that on the day of Pentecost. It was fine for him to know maybe that Jesus did seem to care about other nations as long as he didn't have to eat with them, as long as he didn't have to go to their houses. That's a little different story. Peter never went to a Gentile's house before. Oh, he could preach to them, but not get too close to him. How close are you willing to get to people that are different than yourself? We talked yesterday, last night, about Philip's willingness to get alongside and then eventually be invited up to be with an Ethiopian eunuch. This is my challenge to you. If you want to get God's heart for the nations, you have to be in relationship with people from the nations. You have to intentionally go, like Peter did, to Cornelius' house, like Philip did to the Ethiopian eunuch, like Ananias did when God sent him to Paul. Are you willing to go? Are you willing to say yes to Jesus today? Or do you want to go up on a rooftop and wait for a special vision? I think there's probably a ladder on the campus here somewhere. I don't know, this rooftop. Okay, you want to go up on this rooftop today? Or would you simply like to obey God's word without needing a special vision? Are you willing to, you know, those of you who are seeking for some special revelation or special vision from God in order to go to the nations, don't do it. God in his mercy, he may do for you what he did for Peter. He may say, okay, let me give you something so profound that you will know, oh, you know, there are people coming for you and you should go with them. Oh, God can do that. Just like he can give special visions to people like Cornelius. You know, I met a man, an Indonesian man, who wanted to get a good education, and there were Christian schools in his country. But in order to go to that school, you had to be a Christian. It's like, I don't know, do you accept non-Christians here? No. Okay, like this school. Okay? But imagine that someone is here who is pretending to be a Christian in order to get an education at Rosedale Bible College. Well, this guy pretended he was a Christian in order to go to this Christian school. And I think like his tuition was paid and everything. And at the end of the time, when he was just going to graduate, he informed his professors that he was going back to being a Muslim. And he was so shocked at their response. They said to him, if that's what you want to do, Jesus will not force you to follow him. They understood he had taken advantage. You know, he had deceived them. He had, you know, for his own benefit, pretended to be a Christian. You know, he had a dream. In the dream, Jesus appeared to him and said to him, and he was explaining to Jesus, you know, listen, I grew up as a Muslim, and my whole family is Muslim, my whole village is Muslim, and I have to be a Muslim because when I go, I'm going back there, and I can't be a Christian. And in the dream, in the vision that he had, Jesus says to him, if you want to leave me, you can leave me. And he woke up from that dream, from that vision, and he said, no, I don't want to leave you, Jesus. And he became a follower of Jesus. I met him, and he was still following Jesus. You know, in his mercy, God does come to the Corneliuses of this world sometimes and give them a vision. Not all of them, but certainly we know among Muslims today, some are having dreams and visions that are allowing them to overcome their cultural limitations. But how about Christians having cultural limitations? You know, not all the Muslims who follow Jesus get dreams and visions. Sometimes they need that. And sometimes there are Christians who need visions and dreams in order to go on. But hear my message today. I hope you don't need a special vision from God to obey him. I hope you are the type of people who simply need God's word with his spirit to say, go. Do you really think the Great Commission is for someone else? Do you think Jesus was just talking to 12 disciples or 11 disciples on a mountaintop and that was it? Well, certainly not. Do you think it's just for a special category of people, people who are like really weird or people who are like, they don't like their own culture anyway, so it's good for them to leave? Who do you think? These superheroes? These people who are like so incredible that they're willing to learn another language? By the way, you don't need to learn another language. God has sent the nations to us. Listen, remember, I've been trying to give you this message too, that God loves to reach people away from home. Cornelius is another example, as a person from Rome who was in Caesarea. Another example of God sending someone away from home and then sending a Christian to that person away from home. Oh, wow, this is a beautiful story that Peter finally grasps God's heart for the nations. How many of you would like to be able to say with Peter, I now realize? Can you say it today? If you can't say it today, then God wants to move you into the place of meeting someone from a place you never imagined you would go, among a people that you might not have esteemed before. And you'll be able to say, I now realize how true it is that God accepts men and women from every nation who fear him and do what's right. I told you that I want to give you a chance to respond to what God has been speaking. Here's the question that I want to give to you. Would you be willing to say this? God, I will do whatever you call me to do, no matter what it costs, to get the gospel to people who have never heard it. God, I will do whatever you call me to do, no matter what the cost, to get the gospel to people who have never heard it. Now, that's a general commitment. Let me give you some specifics. I will commit to learning more about unreached people groups. Thank you. There we go. Okay. I will commit to learning more about unreached people groups and adopt one for prayer. I will become a friend to an international student. I will go on a short-term trip to another country to learn more about cross-cultural ministry. I will adopt one missionary to pray for and support financially. I will be open to serving long-term as a cross-cultural missionary. Now, I'm not asking you to commit to all of that. I'm asking you to consider one of those things that you could say yes to, maybe more than one. And, you know, for example, adopting a missionary and supporting them, you say, hey, listen, someone else is paying for my tuition. I don't even have any money to give. Well, I don't know if you have any discretionary money. If you're being supported by your parents and they send you something so that you can buy a latte at the coffee stand, if you would just say, I'm going to commit, even if it was one latte a week, maybe that's too much, one latte a semester, something that you could do. You could commit to saying, if I get money from Christmas or my birthday, I'm going to at least tithe that to give to a missionary that I support. You can do something. So look at these. Let's take a moment to pray, and then I'm going to give you a chance to actually show your commitment. Lord, we thank you for your mercy shown to Peter to get him to Cornelius' house and the wonderful revelation that he had.
Thanks for listening. If you found this episode helpful, please share so others can benefit from it as well. And be sure to check out our other podcasts at rosedale.edu/podcasts.